Gertrude Meany, Real 5. So you were saying, Gertrude, that when the raids came, you were pleased about them? When the bombs fell?
Yes, very pleased. We didn't think about it, and you know, in the whole time, only one girl was bombed in the head. The bomb just fell on her head. Only one girl in all our transports. It means in my transport, where I was in the group, the others I don't know.
Did you have any idea during your time in Auschwitz how the war was developing? You know, the fact that the Russians were winning in the East. Did you have any idea
yes.
of that?
Yes, I tell you about one of the German soldiers who controlled us. He was such a kind man that from how should I say, when he ever came, he said, look, here, read it. Here are the papers, today's papers. Take them and read it. It's very soon the war will be over. And that he said months and months, but it was true that it was always bad or fights or so in the papers, and he brought the papers because he would have been in prison for that. Somebody would have said. And then after the war, one of all who was so kind and good, he always, one of them came and all gave us all some chocolate in our Auschwitz and always bars that we can share between us. So it was shared all, every day he came, it was shared between us again. Because there I must say, except for a few girls, which perhaps half that, I don't know, perhaps that were not good, but the other one, were always, if you need it, have it, have it. It was never a feeling, I must have it, the chocolate. Never. It wasn't. One hasn't had the feeling, I'm good for it. But you need it, have it. But not out of kindness, it wasn't out of kindness. It was somehow of perhaps help each other. We will survive it. That is no sign. You are so ill, you need it so that you don't die. But that was all a different feeling from today. And what would you say today?
What one hears about the orchestra in Auschwitz. Did you ever hear it?
Yes. Yes. It came from the boys in the camp. But I haven't got an idea how it came, but I've heard it. But not often. Not too much. No. No. And we heard a lot of music in Theresienstadt. There we had also more or less a room, what we call the concert hall. And there were always concerts and I forgot the name, but there was one young man. I will remember it when I would hear his name. Who did even write a lot of music. And altogether it was very popular and we all went, it was a big hall with banks and everything, but a concert hall. And there we have concerts always. But otherwise, for instance, in my barrack, there were two, three girls, very musical, and learned at home already music, you know. And then it started between us circle of singing opera, beat it out of the opera. They think before she was standing, I can see her in front of, standing in the middle and start to think it. We, about 10 or 20 girls, were standing around her and singing tennis to her. And we thought it lovely. You know, we were also not unhappy only with the soup and bread. No. And a little bit of butter, but it was lovely. Of course, some of them were bad about it, still the other ones, and they're all together. They're nature hungry, that's what we thought then. And we who didn't do it thought, well, we will get over it, what does it matter? And it didn't matter.
Did you lose
it
a lot of
weight at all?
Did you lose a lot of weight?
Sorry? When I came out after the war, I don't know if it was in my time, but then my weight was 36 kilos, and that was very little. Very little. For a grown up person. So, that was it. I never felt about it ill, unless I had typhus, then I felt ill. For instance, as I told you, one day I suddenly noticed I'm under the roof, and that meant I had the typhus. And I know I had the temperature one has had with this typhus makes you entirely thoughtless, you know, only hot and tired. One doesn't know even what's going on. No, not at all. I didn't know I've got teachers because no doctor gave to me. I didn't get anything. But then one day I said, I go down and I will be in good health again. That was really my strong will and my love for my two men. I always said I have two men and I live for them.
When did you leave Auschwitz? Could you tell me about that, Trudy? What led to you leaving the camp?
Well, I couldn't tell you any day that I haven't got an idea. But I know I was about 1.5 years in Auschwitz. Anyway, I didn't want to go from Auschwitz because I saw my husband every day at lunchtime. But the men went before us, before the women. And then, of course, I was finished. Then I wanted to go as well because he left.
Did you know where you were going when you left Auschwitz? Were you told?
No, I don't remember it at all. Perhaps when I would overthink it, but at the moment I can't remember it. No.
Do you remember anything about the journey?
Look, there was no season, cold or warm. We didn't know, we hadn't had anything to wear, so we were either cold or were warm, and we didn't know why. It means we perhaps guess it might be summer or winter, or that we guessed and felt it. That in summer, I think I was a part of the time in Auschwitz, because I remember that I only had a trouser and a sleeveless blouse somehow. Because there, one still partly could wear things until you were entirely undressed. So that's what it was when we arrived. Yes. As I told you, we arrived and had to go about the three steps, naked, and then we got a frock somehow, it didn't matter, something to wear, and naked underneath. Somehow was not important. Important was there, for instance. Will I meet my husband again? To meet her husband. And in Auschwitz we met him again, so that was a happy time. However it was.
You went from...
Then, for instance, one day the top man came into the camp, and he said it will be now an arrangement done. In front of each hut will be a table with a vase of flowers and a loaf of bread, and they were coming Swiss control. Only passing, and they won't ask you a question, but you are not allowed to say a word. So they were, I suppose, requested not to speak to the prisoner, and we were not allowed to say a word. So we just were standing there and saw them passing, and looking at the flowers and the bread and going out again. So we couldn't say, tell them, we would have told them to save us and to take us out of our oceans or something. Well, we would have tried to help her, yeah. But that was there. And one didn't even look, one didn't cry about that. But I don't know, one had entirely a different feeling, not attitude, only feeling. I don't know what we felt. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Did you find that some people lost the will to live?
Because I thought always, I will see Father, I will see Erwin again, my husband.
But did other people? Did they lose the will to live, do you think, other people that you knew?
Other people were quite different. Some were the same and some were different. The ones I was close together were the one who all the time said, we will survive it. You know, this feeling was very strong. And how I felt when I come back, and it was the first thing I did to find this secretary of my father, because I knew from other ones that she did put him straight away to prison, and straight away took over all the property and everything from father. It's her property. On her name. The house, the factory, and everything.
But she had gone, had she? Did you find...
Well, I couldn't find her. Perhaps she's still alive. I thought, as she was German, she must have got to Germany and not to stay in Czechoslovakia, because I had straight away the police. I did engage to it, and they said, well, we can do only this. Everything we can, and I never heard about her, never. Because in Germany, perhaps she was living in a little village or so with another neighbor, and never, one couldn't find her. Otherwise, that was my biggest wish, that I really had the wish to punish her to death. What she has done. It means to best to take her to court, that I want to wish.
What When
was in Hamburg after the war, I and another two friends of mine were witnesses in court against Germans in the camp. So we all three have been against our leader, you know, who was so bad against us. And that I will never forget. He was still in court there where the prisoner is, you know, in a box sitting in a box in prison in Hamburg in the court. That was to us such a great pleasure. Not a feeling at all really happened something to him or not. It was wonderful that he was the one who only wanted to get us to death, to send us to the gas chamber. And now he's there, and we wished him, all three of us, only gas chamber would be good for him. But what happened then to him, we didn't know. Because we aren't told.
What happened to you when you left Auschwitz? You have explained you can't remember exactly when it was, but what happened to you when you left Auschwitz camp? Person, were you? Could you tell?
We have been taken to in Auschwitz. A bus came, and we had to go into the bus, standing in the bus, and came to Belsen. And in Belsen, we only came to huts, where we only could stand up, and from the ceiling, where in strains, light coming down and itching us. And we were full of lice. And between us girls, you know, God said, lice, we must die, they are poisoning and so on. And we lie down on the ground, that was only a wooden floor, but not floor really. And there we did lie down, and the lice were crawling about us like I put my fingers now over me. And we survived it.
Well, what was
until their extinction came and opened them.
Well, what was the state of the camp when you arrived? Were there many bodies about in Belsen? Could you tell me what
only
you saw?
When they came out.
Not when you went in?
No, then we didn't see it. We came straight away to the huts. No.
But when you went out of the huts, what did you see?
Oh, darling, so many. I can't even say it because I always, when I saw that the dead bodies without the arm or without the foot or without the head, and that is indescribable. I can't describe it because I can't describe it because when I saw the door, I thought, oh my gosh, that must be my father, my husband, and Lily. Because I thought, are my people who are living here dead and crippled entirely? So my wish was only to get over it then in a long time. Before I got older to see them.
So how long would you have been there before the British arrived to liberate the camp? Can you remember?
Not very long. I don't know how long it was, but it might have been 3-4 weeks or 2 months. That I can't say.
And did you have any
food? The only thing is, we didn't get water. The water which was there in the camp, you know, running, that was locked up, and we couldn't wash ourselves, and we couldn't drink anything. We didn't get anything to drink, and we didn't get anything to eat. So we were there, really, and that we knew. We don't get any food, so we must die. We are waiting to die. And Derek Sinkton, the British officer who opened the camp, came after a few days somehow.
Could you tell me about that, the liberation? Could you tell me about the liberation when the English came?
We knew a big van coming, and it was a van with milk. How do you call it? You know, a big metal.
Oh, a milk container. Yes.
Yes. And came, and we were sending it like that through the window, through the gates, and we were told by German. By the German guards, the British are coming. They told us because the soldiers were already afraid of it. They started to speak to us and said the British are on the way. And that's why we knew it. And their extinction came with a military court, and he was the officer of his people, and he came in a, how did you call that, this car from the soldiers?
The staff car?
Yes, well, anyhow. He came and said, and he, before he opened the door, he was shouting into the gate, and we were standing all at the gate, crowding each other to see what's happening, who's coming, and what are they doing. Well, and the fact was that he was shouting, who speaks English? And so we were four girls, Lottie, Betty, Louise, and yes, four girls, who lift up the hand who is speaking the British. So I was also one, I had the courage to lift up my hand, so I did. And I was one of the four who then said, come out. He opened the door and said, come out. And on the truck, he called it, he said, go there, and there we will go, and you go to, you go with us, British. Well, we thought we go home. Lovely. We were happy. We go there with them, out of the camp. That was the main thing. Well, and so we got to Germany, and all four of us were then working for the British. I was working looking after the officers' mess. You can't imagine, one of the officers went the war through, and during the war, in a fight, under his truck or somewhere, he did find a little dog. And this dog went with him all the war through. And he called him Stinky, I remember very well. And he, this dog was in the officer's mess, you know. And I took him, I was following the British ration of meat came once a week or twice a week, that I forgot. Anyhow, it came from England, the ration for the officer's mess. And I looked at it and then the first time said, so it's not nice meat for the officers. I took the meat and went to the German butcher with the meat. And he said, here is the meat, please wait, how much pound is this beef? So he waited and he told me, because I was in uniform, you know. He told me, so I said, yes, so give me the 4 pounds of this weight fillet steaks. And he had, and so I did it with everything, the worst meat and the Germans got. And I got the best for the British officers. They couldn't say how lovely the meals were, because in the officer mess we had a cook who was on one of the famous, I forgot it now, but I knew it, private ships of Germany, he was the cook, and then he was engaged by the British as a cook in the mess. So he was really the best of the best. And he always told me I didn't understand what meat I should choose. He was bad enough for his own people to cook for the, to make himself popular as a British, in the British cooking. So that was under, of course, all the German people there. Were servants, of course, in the British mess after the war. And I was in the uniform. They were nearly afraid of me because I didn't belong to them.
So what uniform did you wear? What was your position officially?
Officially was my uniform a Czech uniform, but an officer's uniform. I don't know how they arranged it, how I got it, that I can't tell you. And with officer stars on the shoulder. And that they arranged for me. And that means I wasn't a real officer. And it's a uniform, and I was engaged by the British mess, officer's mess. That was all. Mm-hmm. And I was. Can you imagine, after all that time, and after I knew that I lost all my people and all my world, can you imagine how I, after the war, hated the Germans more than before? Because they took all and all my world away. Only the Germans. And then, of course, I had the German people as servants in the British officers' mess. They were afraid of me more than before the officers. Because I had the permission to do everything with them. You know, I observed that they couldn't steal in the kitchen, not a slice of bread. They don't know, they get hungry better than to rather throw it away and so on. So I was very, very strong with the German servants in the British officers' mess in Germany. I'm sure they hated me. They were afraid to say anything, but they hated me because the officers were all on my side. What did I do? I did the best for them, you know. But they're looking after the houses, after the food. Then the highest officer, then the, how do you call it, the first officer in the mess. He said, well, let's, there one thing, they had a meeting, and he says, they arranged that Gertie should eat her lunch with us. So that was the biggest honor I got.
How long did it take you, Trudy, to recover your health after all you had been in? Because after all, you would have been 6 years, wouldn't you? How long did it take you, do you think, before you could eat normally and start putting on weight?
Well, I remember it took a long time that I eat anything. Main food was then, and my favorite food, was bread and milk. For months, I couldn't eat meat because when I tried once or twice to eat meat and it made me sick, I couldn't eat it. I couldn't stand it up. But then I learned to English to learn the tea to drink, and that I enjoyed very much. But before I learned really eating, it took a long time. I don't know how long.